And I know that it's possible when you are in a service like this and there's a program of such, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. You might miss the fact that Jesus Christ is really, really rich in this atmosphere. He's reaching for us, every one of us. And so please don't just get caught up in the fact that this is church and we're singing songs and there's a message. Jesus is reaching for us. And I want to respond to the reaching of Jesus Christ in my own life. And I hope that in reading this scripture and telling you a little bit of the background of what's happening in John chapter 4, I cannot be here long enough today to deal with it all in its entirety. I'll probably pick it up some other time. But if you need evidence in Scripture that Jesus cares about you, I hope that you can find it in this simple account from John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we're going to read one verse, verse 39. John chapter 4 and verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, believed on Jesus, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. We'll tell you a little bit more. But Jesus became so personal to one person that it changed an entire city. And I just want you to know that that just shows you how wonderful Jesus really is. And I want you to know that you're not lost in this community or in this city or in this generation. He knows exactly where you are today. So I want to talk to you about sharing Jesus. Because those of us that have Jesus need to position him through our experience so that he can reach for others. And then those of us that need Jesus need to be in this atmosphere today so that you can know Jesus will do whatever he needs to do to reach you. Let's ask for Jesus to find our hearts open to receive him today. Why don't you pray a personal prayer? Jesus, let me be receptive. Let me feel the pull of your spirit in my life. I wish anybody in this building that can would be brave enough to say, Jesus, talk to me today. Reach for me today. In your own words, Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to just move by your spirit until I am impacted, transformed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just find a way to thank the Lord and believe him, praise him, acknowledge that he's going to do something supernatural. He's already doing something supernatural here, and we thank you for it, God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? You may be seated, and I want to turn your attention to the book of Luke. And I know we're going to be in John chapter 4 for most of this time, but in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and he tells a story that really helps us identify the intensity with which God cares about individuals. I mean, let's think about the fact it's a big, big world, and yet God cares about you. He's interested, aware, connecting with you this very moment. And this passage, there's many, but this passage just caught my attention in regards to that. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God, and he says in verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade or invited many. So he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's referring to the kingdom of God as though it was a great supper, a great banquet, if you will. And in verse 17 it says, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So if we think about the kingdom of God, God is saying, I prepared something wonderful for individuals, and now it's ready. The kingdom of God is ready for the people that I love, the people that I have prepared this supper for. And then in verse 18, they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Now, I'm not going to go through all the details, but it seems like as the servants went out to tell people, God has something for you. God has prepared something for you. Each of them said to the servant, look, that's great. I love the master. I want to be connected, but right now I just can't. One man said, you know, I bought some property. I've got to take care of that. Another person said, I've got some oxen. I've got to take care of that. Another person said, man, I just got married. I can't do anything. And so we're not saying that these folks were, you know, deep in some dark secret sin. They were just busy. And so they come back. The servants come back to the master. And look at verse 21. Luke 14 and 21. Jesus says, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. So some time passed. They went and brought people that probably were not very busy at all and filled the house with those people. And they came back and said to the Lord, it's done, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, I just want to throw this out there so there's no confusion. Jesus said that the master became angry. And I don't want to dwell on that except to say it does demonstrate an intensity. An intense desire that when God has prepared something for somebody, he wants all hands on deck. He wants everybody to do everything they can to reach for those people that God has prepared something for. That should somehow alert the church. And I don't want to just focus on the church today, but all of us that know that we are filled with the Spirit and know that we're living for the Lord, please don't excuse yourself from being a servant of God in the business of compelling others to come. One translation says coercing or constraining or requiring people to come. Why? Because the master is intense about one thing, that my house may be filled. Now, I got to tell you, God is God. He don't need his house to be filled so he can say, man, we had a lot of people in church. He's God. He don't need that. He's not motivated by that. But he is so intense about loving lost people. He's so intense about helping hurting people that he sends his servants forth and he basically says, whatever you have to do to get them into my house, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's the will of God that this church be filled. It sure is. It sure is. And yet I want to say to anyone that needs the Lord today, maybe you're not ready to join some campaign provided by a church to try to fill the building with a lot of people. I want you to know that demonstrates that Jesus cares about you. Because he actually chastises his own children through this passage to say, wait a minute, don't you settle for excuses. You realize that I'm reaching for people. And if you find someone that's not interested in me, you just be nice to them and go find somebody else that is ready for me. Because Jesus loves lost people. Jesus cares about everybody. Jesus wants to reach our city, our world, our generation for him. That's why we look at scriptures in the Bible that remind us that God is not slack. In fact, 2 Peter 3, I'll quote it, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, or patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Revelation 22, the scripture says in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The mission of Jesus Christ includes every single person. And because of that, we understand that Jesus cares about everybody. He cares about you. He cares about me. He cares about us. And he cares about the people beyond these doors more than sometimes we even acknowledge. Jesus cares about people. One verse says, this is Jesus Christ again speaking. He says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Many of you could quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are many people in this sanctuary today that you have made it a part of your life to try and influence others for Jesus. There are people in this building that try to invite people to church or even try to teach Bible studies. There are others that build an altar in their home or make it to the prayer chapel and you pray, and sometimes you add fasting to that effort. Why? Jesus, we've got to reach our world. Jesus, we've got to reach lost people. Jesus, we've got to help somebody know you. I just want to tell all of you that are in the category of those that really realize that the mission of Jesus Christ includes the purpose of the church. Please hear me today. Embrace the big picture. Since Jesus died for everyone, this house, his house, must be filled. Since Jesus shed his blood for everyone, people on your job need to know about the love of Jesus Christ. Since Jesus went to Calvary and he hung upon the cross, we must acknowledge that everyone in every school, everyone in every neighborhood needs to experience Jesus. Is there someone that could just raise a hand or do something from your heart that says, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for letting me know about your love. Help me to share your love with somebody else. Thank you, Lord, for letting me know about your plan. Help me to share your plan with somebody else. Can you say in Jesus' name? It is in this context that I was literally floored to revisit all over again. I have to tell you, I've looked at it many times. But when I went back to John chapter 4 and read what for some of you is a very familiar story about Jesus meeting a woman at a well and sharing himself with her, it just totally captivated me with an understanding that Jesus is living in me. And Jesus is living in many of you. And so he's inside of us wanting to get outside of us. He's within us wanting to work through us. Why? Because Jesus cares about everyone. Everyone. Look at John chapter 4. We're going to pick up at verse 1. I'm going to read through some of these verses, skip over some, not because they're not important, but I don't want to take all the time that I have today to deal with this chapter. We'll come back to it, I promise. But in John chapter 4, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. I think it's interesting to note that it looks like Jesus was being very successful in spreading his love throughout the land. He was baptizing even more converts than John through the ministry of his disciples as they were obeying his words. They were having a lot of success reaching people. Isn't it interesting that Jesus did not settle for the fact that, wow, we've already baptized more people than John? Somehow Jesus recognized there's more people in a city over there that I need to reach. And so he says here in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 5, then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Some say about 12 noon. Others say 6 in the evening. But it was past the time in the day where someone might be exhausted from their journey. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, let me pause and make a few comments that I want you to consider. Number one, let me just suggest that Jesus did not meet this woman at this well at this particular hour by coincidence. He's already baptized a bunch of people through the ministry of his disciples. He could just kind of chill and say, wow, it's working out pretty good. But he says, I've got to go through Samaria to a certain city because he understands that there is a woman that I'm going to meet at a well at a particular hour. That woman doesn't know me and I've never met her in terms of a physical meeting. But somehow Jesus is so interested in individuals that he can stop all of the other plans of everybody else that may have an agenda for him. Simply to pursue a soul that is thirsty for God. I need that to get a hold of me. I want that to get a hold of you. I don't think we have much of this kind of problem here in this church from my own experience, but if you study the history in those days, the Jewish people of that time, they would actually bypass Samaria because there was so much prejudice against the Samaritans from the Jews. There was an antagonistic relationship between these two factions of people. In fact, it was geographically correct that to get through to where Jesus was going in Galilee, it would have been quicker to go through Samaria, but the Jews of that day would literally go the long way around simply to get away from those people that were not like them, those people that they detested because of the history of antagonism. Can I tell you something? It's time for the Church of the Living God to become intentional about reaching people that don't look like us, about reaching people that maybe aren't the same kind of people as we are. Oh, for every church in this city to look like this church today, where it's not just for white people or just for black people, it's for every people. Oh, for every church in this city to be filled with Latinos and African Americans and European Americans, because Jesus showed us through this experience, I will bust through every barrier, I will go across every divide just to reach one person. Oh, we ought to thank the Lord for that. We ought to thank the Lord for that. Amen. But here's the reality. Long before this woman ever shows up in the Bible, Jesus knew, I've got people in a city that I want to reach. And if I show up at exactly the right time, if I position myself, even though I'm weary from my journey, if I just show up at the right time, at the right place, I can reach a life that needs me. And through that life, who knows who can be reached in that city? That's an awesome God. That's a God that knows exactly who's here today. That's a God that knows exactly who came and said, if I don't get it today, I don't think I'm ever going to get it. That's a God that when you don't even make it to church, he's dealing with you as you sit there at home wondering if anybody loves you, and he's maneuvering things in your life. That's the kind of God that even some of you could testify. The only reason why I'm in here, I would have never darkened the door of a church, especially a church like this, but somebody at work kept loving me. Somebody at work kept inviting me. Somebody at work kept reaching for me, and that's why I'm here today. You know why? Because Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Be not weary in well-doing. Whatever we can do to be the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, because Jesus is reaching for this city. Wherever you're from, whoever you can influence, Jesus loves those people that you're connected to. Can you say amen? I just want you to know that God is in the process of setting up divine appointments for us simply because we are committed to sharing Jesus. Committed to sharing Jesus. How many of you would be brave enough to raise your hand and say, Jesus, help me to share you with somebody? Now step out on a limb and say, this very week, Lord, help me to share you with somebody. Go ahead and just say, Lord, I'm open for a divine appointment. I'm open to go to the supermarket at exactly the right time that I need to go to the supermarket so that I can connect with somebody that needs prayer, as has already happened recently with people in this church. I'm asking you right now to pray that prayer. Jesus, I'm willing even on my lunch hour at work to be sensitive, not just to get my little sandwich and go off in a corner, but if there is somebody that's a coworker that's lonely or hurting, God, maybe something's going to happen to them on Monday and you're going to set up a divine appointment for me on Wednesday. I'm just going to say to you, Lord, it's not just about sitting on a pew on Sunday for me. I want to be someone that shares you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. Let's read a little bit further. In verse number 8, it says, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. I can't stay here, but it's probable that they probably passed each other on the road because they're going into the city that this lady's coming out of. And here, the disciples pass by the person that God was reaching for. Let that be a lesson to all us disciples. I said, let that be a lesson to all us disciples. In fact, by the time we get to the end of the story, the whole city comes out because they want God. And those disciples were in that very city. And all they came out of that city with was enough to take care of themselves. Jesus, help us to share you with a lost world. I got problems, I got bills, I got troubles, but I got Jesus. Let us be numbered amongst those people that can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I may be broke, but I can share Jesus with somebody. I may have trouble in my marriage, but I can share Jesus with somebody. There may be some trouble with my school grades, but I can share Jesus with somebody. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we see the disciples were off buying meat. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We've talked about that. Look at verse 10, and Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I just want somebody to know here today, I hope something in the singing, I hope something even in this simple preaching is stirring up a thirst in your heart that says, I want something from Jesus today. Because I'm here to tell you, whoever you are, whether you've been serving God for a long time or you hardly even know Jesus, he has a gift for you today. If you can just get a little bit thirsty, not for the things of the world, not for the things of this life, but Jesus, I'm thirsty for something eternal. I'm thirsty for something that satisfies my soul. Praise the name of the Lord. I wonder if you take a moment and you would just close your eyes and say, Jesus, stir up a thirst in me for more of you. I wonder if anybody in this building could say that in your own way. Jesus, stir up a thirst in me for more of you. Can you say in Jesus' name? So Jesus is talking about everlasting life. Jesus is talking about the promise of never being thirsty. And in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You'll find out in a few minutes that this woman had the kind of life that it's very possible that the reason why she met Jesus alone at that well is because there may have been other wells she could have went to, but she walked a half mile out of town because she was so sick and tired of people judging her life. And when Jesus promised her, young lady, I can give you something that will meet your need so that you won't have to worry about even coming to this well again, that something in her heart kind of leaped up and she said, oh, my life is not what I've wanted it to be. Is there any way I could have this gift? And I want to pause to say, and I think this is very important for us to consider, in most cases and places where Jesus is presented, that would have been the end of this story. We've talked about everlasting life, and we've lined up all these people around the front that want Jesus to be their Savior, and we can count them. We've done our job. But Jesus wasn't finished with this woman as yet. I want that to rest upon your soul for just a moment. Because the reality is, meeting the needs of people is just the beginning of sharing Jesus. Do you realize that even though this woman has acknowledged, Jesus, I want what you have for me, even though she has accepted what the Lord has for her, at that moment she has no revelation of who Jesus is. She's already believing that there could be eternal life, and she don't even know who she's talking to. We need to share Jesus, my brothers and sisters. We need to share a revelation of who he is, my brothers and sisters. Because just acknowledging your need for Jesus is not enough. Just acknowledging your desire for eternal life is not enough. And even just thinking in your heart, I believe that Jesus could give me what I'm thirsty for, it's not enough. If it was enough, that story would have ended right there. But the story doesn't end because Jesus is talking to a woman about eternal life. He's reaching for her heart, and she still doesn't know who he is. Can I tell you something else she doesn't know? She doesn't know anything about repentance. She wants everlasting life. She wants Jesus to meet her needs. But she doesn't know him. And she hasn't taken time to say, Jesus, without you, my life is a mess. What is it about this world that we have settled for convenience conversions? I want Jesus, but don't go digging in my heart. I want eternal life, but I don't want the depth of a relationship with God that I know Him and He knows me. Jesus, help us to share You with a lost world. Help us to share You with a lost individual. Can you say in Jesus' name? Now for the faint of heart, it gets a little bit ugly here. Verse 16 of John chapter 4. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this thou saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And in a sense, she was saying, okay, you got me. You know, there's something about honesty in the presence of God that opens the door to the gift that God has for every individual. There is something about allowing Jesus to reach for our soul where we can say, God, it's not just about what I need from You. It's about what You need from me. And You need me to give myself to You in repentance and honesty before God. And you say amen? Sharing Jesus requires that we speak the truth in love. Sharing Jesus requires that we allow God to get to the soul of people. And I know that it's kind of quiet in here and maybe even a little bit too personal. And I just want you to see something here, and that is, it's clear from the context of this story. Jesus was not shaming or embarrassing this woman. Jesus was trying to set her free. Because as long as sin remains in the dark, the enemy of your soul can put it in your face. And every time you get close to hope that God can give you a breakthrough, the enemy can bring it right back up in your face. But if you can find a place of repentance, not before the whole church or not even in the presence of the pastor, but you can build an altar somewhere and say, Jesus, I am thirsty for more of what You have in my life. But I've got to show You what's really happening inside of my soul. There's things in me, Lord, that I don't feel would please You. There's things in me, Lord, that I don't think would make You happy. There's areas of my life that don't line up with Your word. It's only then that we can be released from the prison of shame because of our sin. Because as soon as we give it to Jesus in repentance, it is gone forever. It's under His blood. It's forever forgiven after we have repented before God. And so I'm telling you, my dear friends, we must share Jesus to that degree. I'm not saying we need to start talking about everybody's junk. But when you start reaching for somebody, don't you become embarrassed when you have to identify, sir, ma'am, there's something not right in your life. There's something in your life that doesn't line up with the Word of God. When that happens, you will be accused of being judgmental. But if you can do it in love, and if you can release people from their shame, then you can open up the windows of heaven for them that they might be set free. In fact, I told you we would deal with this in the future. So I'm not going to go into any more details about this story. There's incredible details about this story. But the reason why we began this message with John chapter 4 and verse 39 is because we see the result of Jesus identifying for this woman the area of her life where she was failing God. Look at verse number 39, John chapter 4 again. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." Sometimes we are afraid of sharing Jesus to the degree that people have to deal with their life in a manner that doesn't line up with the Word of God, because we don't want to judge anybody. We don't want to condemn anybody. But let me guarantee you, when Jesus deals with somebody's sin, it's not to condemn them, it's to forgive them. But if we are so intimidated in the process of sharing Jesus that we're going to kind of gloss over everything about the Word of God that people ignore, they will stay in their prison of sin. But if we can be the kind of people that can be honest about the Word of God says and share the truth in love, then Jesus Christ can set the captive free. Because when this woman received the mercy of God, she turned around and went back to that city where everybody knew about her lifestyle, where everybody knew about her past, where everybody knew about how she had messed up, and she was not embarrassed to say, "Let me tell you, I know somebody that knew everything about me, but they still loved me. I know somebody that knew everything about how I messed up, but they still came and helped me." I'm trying to tell you, that's what our world needs. That's what our world needs. I preach to you today that we need to be involved in the business of sharing Jesus. And even in this place right now, I have come to tell somebody what you need from Jesus is just one prayer of repentance away from exploding upon your soul with fresh mercy and fresh grace and fresh love from the throne room of God. But you don't need a preacher just to pat you on the back and say, "Go ahead and ignore the Word of God. Go ahead and do your own thing." You need a preacher that can tell you in love, if you don't line up your life with the Word of God, you cannot satisfy your thirst for more of God. But if you can say, "Jesus, here I am. I'm thankful for everything you've already done in my life, but I want more. I'm thirsty for more. And so I'm asking you, Jesus, forgive me for anything that keeps me from more of you." Just a sincere prayer like that will open up the windows of heaven, and the grace and mercy of God will rescue your life. Praise God. Remember how you felt just a few moments ago when you felt free to say, "Jesus, I'm broken. Jesus, I'm broken." That's what you need to be healed. That's what you need to recover your relationship with God. "Jesus, I'm broken. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Call on his name, not with any kind of pretense that you already have everything you need from him. No, "Jesus, I'm thirsty. Jesus, there's some things that are not right. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you." That's why the Lord exposed her at the well. It was not to embarrass her or shame her. And that's why this preacher is exposing something in this atmosphere. We got to get past playing church. We got to get past coming in and going out like everything's just the way it needs to be. We got to get past, and we'll talk about in the future, pinning our relationship with God just on our religious history. We need more than religion, because tradition doesn't transform anybody. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to get a hold of our lives. And that's not going to come because of the right song or the right sermon. It's going to come because somebody says, "Jesus, I'm thirsty. I'm calling you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty to be right with God." Can you bow your heads with me right now? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will come to the altar today in just a few moments when everybody comes, and you will allow brothers and sisters to pray for you, I will try to get as close to you as I can. I'll try to pray for everybody in this room, not because I'm anything in and of myself, but simply because I want to share Jesus. But when I come to you and take you by the hand, or maybe place my hand on your head, something might come out of my mouth that will shock you, because Jesus knows exactly who you are. And when that happens, that's not for you to feel ashamed or embarrassed. It's for you to say, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to hide that from you anymore. I can open my heart to you and receive the mercy and the grace that satisfies my soul. You might come to the altar in just a few moments and bow your head, and before anybody even comes to pray with you, God may start talking to you about an area where you're holding on to bitterness or resentment because of something that happened a long time ago. And at that moment, God is not trying to shame you. God is trying to set you free. And at that moment, don't hang on to your current religious experience. Say, Jesus, I'm thirsty. I want more of you. I need you in my life. Because I feel like the atmosphere in this sanctuary is similar to how it felt at the well that day. It was tender enough, and yet it was transparent enough that when that woman allowed Jesus to peel away the facade and deal with what was really in her heart, she was totally freed and satisfied. That's what Jesus wants to do for somebody right now. Would you pray with me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And by the authority of the Word of God, I speak into the souls of people that have come. And in this service, they have felt a quickening, a reaching of the power of God. That's what drew you back here. That's why you came. It wasn't just the music. It wasn't just something that you heard from the pulpit. Your soul is thirsty for God. That's why you're here today. And when everybody comes forward, we're asking you to come with the rest and say, Jesus, here it is. Something is missing. Here it is. I'm incomplete without you, Lord. I'm serving you. I love you, but I want more of you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the power of the Holy Ghost rescue men and women and boys and girls, friends and guests and brothers and sisters that are thirsty for you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Ilobotoriande la bacata ye la lariando robotoriande. Ila la mande cotoriale la matica le lorobotoriande la matica le la mariando. Ila mande cotiale la matica le lobotoriande la batica le loroboriande. Ila la mande cotoriale la matica le lororoboriande. Ila la matico le matianda la maya satororiande. In the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 I know not everybody can do this at first, but those of you that are just capable of being courageous enough to lift your hands up to the Lord and just reach out to Him with all of your heart, would you just become an example of someone that can just reach out to God with all of your heart? Let your voice out right now. Let your voice out right now. Because other people need to hear that they have nothing to be embarrassed of today. That they have no reason to hold back today. They have no reason to hide their need today. Halamande, la la bande, ya la bande. Halalabande, ya ta la 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 bando. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you would like to come to this altar for special prayer, you don't have to be a member of this church. Just come if you would like special prayer. Please, everybody, keep reaching out to God. But if you're here today and you would like special prayer, would you come forward with those that are coming and say, Jesus, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for righteousness. 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 Is there anybody that wants to meet Jesus at the well today? Anybody that wants to meet Jesus at the well today? Anybody that wants to meet Jesus at the well today? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's healing in this atmosphere. There's healing in this atmosphere today. There's healing in this atmosphere today.
In the name of the Lord.